your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Back to continue KER politics with Jose Nino. Let's talk about the basic question real quick, Jose. Are the neocons really still in control?
It's interesting because when you saw the election of Donald Trump in 2016, the neocons did take somewhat of a body blow because Trump ran a pretty anti-neocon platform when it came to not engaging in new, never-ending nation-building experiments abroad. That said, there was a residual neocon element within his administration that roadblocked him with regards to the Afghanistan withdrawal and other measures that would have retrenched a lot of America's presence abroad, which I believe does not serve any pressing American interests. Now, fast forward to the Russo-Ukrainian conflict. You have seen a consolidation of both parties when it comes to pumping a bunch of military aid into Ukraine in order to effectively have Ukraine fight Russia to the last Ukrainian and try to draw it into a really nasty proxy conflict that could potentially spread across Europe and maybe create a broader refugee crisis. It remains to be seen if they will fully realize that vision. There are some people that are definitely crazy enough to want NATO to get involved, potentially turn this conflict into a nuclear affair, but that also remains to be seen. These people are still in control. That said, I will note that there is a very strong alternative media ecosystem that has helped make a lot of the American populace become much more hesitant about getting into unnecessary conflicts abroad. And this type of alternative media space has really challenged the corporate media narrative and has made even some politicians much more gun-shy about committing U.S. resources, both direct and indirect, to get in a conflict that really doesn't serve a pressing American interest.
You know, I see, Jose, I see a very big, I think you're alluding to something that many people are trying to avoid from the Washington perspective, and certainly from the neocon and the institutional party perspective. There is this incredibly growing frustration with the population. The facade is dropping. They're seeing what's behind the curtain. Certainly with the Biden regime, the Biden administration, of the mistakes that have been made in the past. And I think there's a beginning to be a tremendous pushback from much of the population about these never-ending conflicts that not only do they drag on and drain resources and really hurt America, they kill Americans, they do damage to foreign, you know, locations, and then we walk away from them and lose. And I think that is incredibly disheartening for many, many Americans. And I'm seeing pushback. You're seeing it in many, many places, with the exception of just inside that beltway and those major media corporations that continue to hype that. So I'm encouraged, actually, that people are starting to wake up, and, you know, with some of these absolutely tremendous mistakes that are happening out there. It does come back to, though, who controls the narrative, and that's back to the media and the corporations that are kind of driving these agendas in support of a number of different, very influential interests.
I'm also pretty optimistic as well. I share your opinion because of the fact that you see much more people these days questioning a lot of like media narratives. Like if you went back to, say, Iraq War II, when alternative media was in its gestational phase, there was not as much resistance to that. But now I think it's just so much harder for the ruling class to prosecute these kind of conflicts, especially when you're dealing with like a nuclear power like Russia, like to really get a lot of people to sign up for this, especially when you're dealing with a conflict where the U.S. was not directly attacked. That's just even like doubly harder. So I'm actually pretty optimistic, and I think that as time goes by, even with all the censorship and whatnot, people will find a way to pierce through the ruling class's recount of events.
Jose, I'm curious about your second sentence in your commentary, free speech is dead in this country. What you say is, quote, rather it's a sober reflection of how hard the West has fallen. when it comes to protecting the foundational freedoms that once made it great. We've got about 3 minutes. Can you just talk about that briefly?
Yeah, to give context, this was an article I wrote for the Liberty Loft on how Germany banned, several states in Germany banned the letter Z, because letter Z is decorated on Russian tanks and other military vehicles in the current Russian invasion of Ukraine. And so a lot of European lawmakers from Germany and even some Central European countries have passed legislation to ban this symbol and also ban any purported speech or statements that somehow express pro-Russian sentiments. And while this may seem reasonable to the average person whenever they talk about it in simple terms, I believe this is kind of like a Trojan horse for broader free speech violations. Because what if somebody, like, say, the international relations theorist John Mearsheimer, who warned about this conflict for years, starts to explain why Russia invaded Ukraine. That could be constituted as a, like, support for, like, pro-Russian objectives, and it could be prosecuted in those states. Like, anybody who tries to dispel the prevailing narrative could be subject to these penalties. And I think it is a form of decline, because the West, over the last 500 years or so, has valued the idea of freedom of speech, free inquiry, and the questioning of the reality in front of us as a way to, like, progress and build, like, our civilization. It's what made us unique. And by effectively banning speech, we have the U.S. and the collective West just becomes another form of oriental despotism that you see, whether it's in communist China or even Russia. We effectively become what we fight against. And it's a sad state of affairs, but I believe that's what's happening across the West, where the ruling classes have largely abandoned many of the principles that made Western civilization great and unique among civilized states.
Hey guys, we got to take a real quick break for the top of the hour news. Jimmy, we got a minute. You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think it's happening here in America as well. You know, the bastion of free speech, at least where that it began through our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and these things to do it, where we see people screaming and yelling about gender identity, and you can't say something against, misgender somebody. We're seeing it in the January 6th issues, people that actually protested rightly being attacked with Justice Department and being called, insurrectionists by major mainstream figures and politicians.
That is absolutely wrong. You guys were out of time. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Jose, you're going to be back. Thank you very much.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.